Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
You are listening to the third installment of Audio Pictionary, an English vocabulary game designed to exercise and increase your active vocabulary. I'm your host, Tony Kaizen, and the game you're about to play is a simple one, so let me break it down for you. There will be three rounds. In each round, we will focus on one topic, like cooking or basketball, for example. Now, first, I'm going to describe an object, action, person, or activity related to the topic, and then you will have to say the name of whatever I'm describing. Now, in each round, you can earn a maximum of 5 points, 1 point for each correct answer. So put your thinking caps on, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to picture this audio. Audio Pictionary is brought to you by Real English Radio, a podcast for people who want to learn real spoken English in a practical way. For access to episode transcripts, PDF study guides, and bonus podcast episodes, visit patreon.com/realenglishradio. Round 1. Objects and actions related to restaurants. Number 1. This is a cozy seating area in a restaurant, often enclosed by high backs and sides for privacy. This is a cozy seating area in a restaurant, often enclosed by high backs and sides for privacy. What is this called? If you said booth, then you are correct, my friend. That's B-O-O-T-H, booth. Now, just for some more detail, let's say, in a restaurant, you might find regular tables with individual chairs, 3, 4, 5, 6 chairs around the table. And there might even be a bar inside the restaurant. And the chairs that are typically a bit higher, made specifically for sitting at the bar, those are called stools or bar stools. And like I said, you have regular tables and chairs, but the booth is typically on the wall or connected to or next to a wall. And it's two couch-like chairs. They're much softer, much more comfortable. And one couch is facing the other couch. So you sit on one side and the other person sits across from you on the other side in a more enclosed kind of space. That is what we call a booth. All right, number 2. This term is used to describe the time you spend waiting to be seated or served at a restaurant. The time you spend waiting to be seated or served at a restaurant is called what? If you said the wait, then you are correct, my friend. That's W-A-I-T. In this case, it is a noun. The wait is how long you spend or how much time you spend waiting to be seated at a restaurant. So you might go to a restaurant and there's a lot of people, it's Easter or something like that. Everybody's going out to eat with the family and a lot of people are at this restaurant. When you arrive, you might ask the person waiting close to the door, you might ask them, excuse me, how long is the wait? How long is the wait? And what you're asking them is, how long should I expect to wait before we can be seated? That is the wait. All right, number three. This word describes the act of choosing your food and drinks from the menu and telling the server what you want. When you're looking at the menu and deciding what you want to eat and drink and telling the server these things, what do we call that action? If you said ordering food, then you are correct, my friend. To order something, especially in a restaurant, just means to tell the server whatever it is you want. So you order food at McDonald's, you order food at Ruth Chris, you order food at In-N-Out Burger. It just means telling them what you want and then paying for it most of the time. That's what it means to order something. All right, number four. This is the person who greets you at a restaurant and shows you to your table. When you arrive at a restaurant, the person who greets you says hello and welcome and shows you to your table or takes you or guides you to your table. What do we call this person? If you said the host or the hostess, then you are correct, my friend. Just a minute ago, when we were talking about the wait, I said you'll probably ask the person waiting close to the door or standing close to the door, how long is the wait? That person is typically going to be the host or the hostess. And just in case you don't know, it's really the same word, except we use host for men and hostess for women. But that's what we call them, the host. Different from the server or the waiter. That's the person who is serving you your food and drinks. But the person at the front of the restaurant responsible for seating people is the host or the hostess. All right, number five. This describes the act of removing all the dishes, glasses, and utensils from the table after you have finished eating. To remove all the dishes, glasses, and utensils from the table after you finish eating. What do we call this? If you said clearing the table, then you are correct, my friend. Now, you could say clean the table, but what that typically means is removing stains or sauce or liquids that were spilled on the table. You want the surface of the table to be clean or disinfected. But to clear the table, it really means to remove objects from the table. If the surface is clear in this context, there's nothing obstructing. That's not the right word. There's nothing on the table, right? So once you finish eating and you leave, somebody will come and take the glasses and the cups and the forks and knives and plates. They are clearing the table. After that, they might clean the table with some type of disinfecting liquid or something like that. All right, that is the end of round one, my friend. Go ahead and tally up those points. And as I've said in recent games of Audio Pictionary, don't feel bad if you didn't get any correct answers. It's not a big deal. We still got two rounds to go, so you still got a chance to get some points on the board. So let's move on. Round two, objects and actions related to the airport. Number one, this is the area at the airport where you pick up your checked luggage after a flight. After you get off of the plane, you typically go to a designated area an area designated for picking up your luggage, your suitcase, your bags. What do we call this area? If you said baggage claim, then you are correct, my friend. As I just said, it's where you get off of a plane, then you're probably going to go downstairs and really close to the door. Just before you leave the airport, there are these large carousels with conveyor belts. And suitcases are appearing from somewhere, and you go, you find your suitcase, you pick it up, and then you go outside and call an Uber or a taxi or your family member or whoever. That area is referred to as the baggage claim because you go there to claim your baggage. All right, number two. This is a building at the airport where passengers check in, go through security, and board their flights. What do we call this building? Where passengers check in, go through security, and then board their flights. If you said terminal, then you are correct, my friend. At an airport, there's usually multiple buildings, and it's where you do all of the stuff before you actually get on the plane. Terminal A, Terminal B, North Terminal, South Terminal, they typically have different names, but we refer to that building as a terminal. All right, number three. This is the process of being screened by airport security, including walking through a metal detector and having your bags checked. What is the phrase that describes this action? Being screened or checked by airport security, walking through the metal detector, and having your bags checked. What do we call this? If you said going through security, then you are right, my friend. That entire process, taking off your shoes and your belt, putting them on the conveyor belt, sending them through the X-ray, walking through the metal detector, being checked to make sure you don't have any weapons or dangerous substances, we call this going through security. All right, number four. This is the act of getting on the plane and finding your seat before the flight takes off. The act of getting on the airplane and finding your seat before the flight actually takes off. What do we call this? If you said boarding the plane, then you are correct, my friend. To board an airplane is the same thing as getting on an airplane. Get on the airplane and find your seat, board the plane, and then find your seat. And then getting off the plane after the flight is deboarding. So you board the plane and then you deboard the plane. You get on the plane, then you get off the plane. All right, number five. The moments when the plane leaves the ground to start the flight and when it touches back down at the end of the flight. What are the verbs that we use to describe these actions? When the airplane leaves the ground at the beginning of the flight and then returns to the ground at the end of the flight. How do we describe these actions? If you said take off and land, then you're correct, my friend. At the beginning of a flight, the airplane increases its speed and then eventually leaves the earth and begins to fly. We call that action taking off. The plane takes off. Then eventually is going to return to the surface of the earth, and we call that landing. The plane takes off, flies, and then lands.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All right, my friend, that is the end of round two. How we doing, man? Let me know. Tally up those points. You can have a maximum of 10 at this point, but even if you got less than 5, don't feel bad, my friend, because you're learning. All right, we still got one more round. You got one more shot to put some points up on the board. All right, so let's do it. Round three, objects and actions related to hotels. Number one. This is the service offered by a hotel that allows you to order food and drinks to be delivered to your room. The service that many hotels will offer that allows you to order food and drinks and have them delivered directly to your room. What do we call this? If you said room service, then you are correct, my friend. I don't know how many of y'all have done this. I've actually never ordered room service before, but that's what it is. You can order some food from the comfort of your hotel room. Just pick up the phone and say, hey, can I get a grilled steak, some peas and mashed potatoes, or whatever they typically order. You know what I mean? But we call that ordering room service. When you're at a hotel and they deliver food to your room, it's a room service. All right, number two. This is a sign that you hang on your hotel door, or excuse me, your hotel room door, when you don't want to be disturbed by staff or visitors. When you don't want to be disturbed by anybody, no visitors, the hotel staff, nobody. When you do not want to be disturbed, you're going to put a sign on your door to let everybody know that. What do we call this sign? If you said the do not disturb sign, then you are indeed correct, my friend. This one's pretty easy, right? What would you call it? Self-explanatory? All right, the name of the item describes exactly what it is. You put a sign, a little rectangular sign, on the door handle that says do not disturb or something of that nature, and it lets people know, no matter what's happening, don't knock on my door, don't bother me, do not disturb me, because I got some more important stuff going on, right? Do not disturb sign. All right, number three. This is the person at the hotel who greets the guests, checks them in, and provides information about the hotel and or the local area. The person who works at the hotel, typically sitting at the desk near the door, who greets the new guests, checks them in, and tells them about the hotel or things to do in the area. What do we call this person? If you said receptionist or concierge, then you are correct, my friend. Now, to me, these words are the same. It's just that concierge sounds a bit more, I wouldn't say necessarily formal, but a bit fancier. Like concierge is going to work at some five-star hotel, $2,000 a night for you to stay there or something. It just sounds fancier. I think it comes from French. But receptionist is more of a general term. And either word can be used in any context. The hotel concierge, the hotel receptionist, they're the same thing. It's just receptionist sounds a bit more casual to me. All right. All right, number four. This hotel employee is the one who helps guests with their luggage and shows them to their rooms. If you arrive at a hotel, you got a lot of heavy bags. You don't want to carry them all upstairs one by one. So typically somebody will come through with a rolling cart. You can put your bags on that cart and they will follow you or show you to your room on a different floor. What do we call this person? If you said bellhop, then that is correct, my friend. B-E-L-L-H-O-P, bellhop. This is not a word you're going to hear every day, if I'm being honest, but that is the word that we use to describe that person. Typically dressed in a very formal uniform. I don't know if they do this anymore, but they used to wear a funny looking hat, and they'd be the person that puts the bags on the cart and then takes them upstairs for you. That's the bellhop. All right, number five. This is the person responsible for cleaning and maintaining the guest rooms and common areas of the hotel. If you're staying at a hotel for an extended period of time, and early in the morning or maybe the middle of the day, you'll hear a knock on your door. And then they'll say something to let you know who they are and why they are there. What do we call this person? If you said housekeeper, then you are correct, my friend. Now, obviously, a hotel is not a house, but it's kind of like a temporary house, right? And the housekeeper is the one who actually cleans your room every day, cleans all the common areas of the hotel. They'll knock on your door, housekeeping, housekeeping, and they're letting you know this is a housekeeper here to keep the house, or not keep the house, but you know, maintain, clean, straighten up your room. That's housekeeping. And the person who does it is the housekeeper. All right, my friends, that is the end of round number three. Go ahead and tally up those points. You can have a maximum of 15 at this point. But if you don't, like I always say, man, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. You got to take the L's the same way you take the wins. You know what I'm saying? And you learn more from the L's. And just in case you don't know, L is slang for loss. If you lose a game or a match or a competition, then you have taken an L. To take an L means to lose. So you have to learn from your L's. You got to learn from your losses, your failures. You know what I'm saying? And speaking of learning, after you listen to this episode, really you should be checking this out while you listen, but definitely when you're done listening. For all of the Patreon subscribers, check out the vocabulary guide or the study guide for this episode so you can see the words and definitions, example sentences, and also the exercise to help you practice in your free time. I put a list of other words and phrases related to these topics so that you can practice defining and describing these things with the language that you do have. And whatever you don't know, then you go and study and then put it into practice. That's the whole point, you know, so you can read, write, listen, and speak in less than an hour and get in some good practice, even if you're all by yourself, my friend. All right. But that is it for this match day number 3 of Audio Pictionary, another episode of Real English Radio in the books. Thank you so much for your time and attention. I am your host, Tony Kaizen, and I'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.